Peter Lynham.
Good evening. How are you doing today?
Good as.
Excellent. So, cannabis law reform, I think, is the topic we promised everybody last week.
Mm-hmm.
And especially the strange fact that religions, half the religions seem to be, actually believe that cannabis is good for spirituality, and the other half believe it's very bad for spirituality.
Okay. Are they easy to spot in the public, or are they?
No, okay. Because even the Rastas, who are the obvious advocates of the use of cannabis, don't advocate doing it in public.
Right.
And even though there's famous pictures of Bob Marley with his joint, in fact, most Rastas see the religious use of cannabis as being very different from the, you know, recreational use of cannabis. So they see it as only when it can give them a spiritual high, only when it can elevate them into a spiritual state, will it genuinely be an appropriate adjunct to their religious practice. It's a bit disappointing, really, that. But I'm sure there is, given Bob Marley, an aspect of both in the way in which they use cannabis.
Mm.
But there are other religious traditions as well that use cannabis. There's a certain amount of evidence that Taoism, original Taoism in China,
right,
did advocate the use of cannabis by the priests in the temple. And I think that's hardly surprising, because you would expect that those religions that believe in a mystical state as being the truly spiritual state of being are inevitably going to look for ways that this can be produced. And that's where it gets kind of interesting, because you could argue that to induce it by means of stimulants is kind of cheating the system, but Taoism never took it that way, and there's a certain amount of evidence within Hinduism as well that there's a spiritual high that's appropriate to religiosity, and that can be experienced, stimulated by the use of cannabis.
Right. It's funny you say that, because I've been up into sort of the Nepalese hills of India, and
yeah,
there's a place called Malana, and there's just cannabis just grows everywhere wild, and there's like people, it's interwoven into religion up there, and it's illegal in India, cannabis, but
yeah,
it's just so far gone up there that it just can't be stopped, and it's like they respect the religion so much that the people that worship don't get messed with.
Okay, and that's a problem.
It's hash mostly up there.
Yeah, oh, okay.
I think it's Hindu, I'd say.
Yes. Hindu is a great variety of things. You've got to remember that.
Hindu is just
a collective term for the religions of India, in a way. Well, not all the religions, but some of the religions of India. Yeah, so there's that tradition, and it may be that in the whirling dervishes, as they're so-called in Islam, so this is the Sufi tradition, that there probably was use of substances that would stimulate that kind of spiritual state.
Yeah.
Now
they smoke it with tobacco as well, through a strange, I think they call it a chulu pipe or something in it. You almost hyperventilate when you do it. I did it one time.
Yeah.
It ripped my whole life apart. It was crazy because I don't smoke tobacco either.
Yeah.
And you just kind of like hyperventilate. Like that, and you bring air in as well, and you really stoke this stone thing.
Your brain would explode.
Yeah, it's a powerful situation. It's a powerful situation.
Yeah, I mean, most Hindus, I don't think, smoke it at all.
Right.
They it's in cakes, I think.
Okay. Yeah.
So that's, I think, the characteristic way. But
what about here in the West? Who's the most open to cannabis? Like Christian, Catholic? Like who's the most like into the DAC?
I think quite a lot of what you might call Westernized Buddhism will see some value in enabling people to free up their minds, and just because, you know, the essence of Buddhism is to cut out the extraneous world And this is certainly one way to cut out the extraneous world. Now, that's not to say that you can cite Buddhist scriptures in favour of this. Probably on the contrary.
Mm.
And a lot of traditional Buddhism in East Asia is very disapproving of the use of cannabis. But certainly people I've known who've been Western Buddhist practices have sometimes found that a very helpful way to kind of cleanse their minds.
Right.
Now, you know, if you think the opposite point of view, I mean, this is really quite interesting because perhaps one could argue that this could be a way to divide up the religions, because there's a certain aspect of Islam, Christianity, Judaism that's hyper-rationalistic. You know, you don't cloud your mind ever.
Ah, right.
There's got to be focus and serious intention. There's got to be moral purpose in all that you do, and therefore anything that reduces your sense of identity or responsibility would be morally reprehensible. But still, as I've said, even within the Sufi tradition in Islam, and you could think of some forms of exotic Christian mysticism, where they really do believe in this high spiritual state, which is the place where God reaches you.
Right.
Now, of course, there are various ways to get there. And traditionally, say if you take Christianity, it's a bit unlikely to think of Pentecostals, you know, using dope as a way to get their spiritual high. No, they can get there by means of devotion and music. And so, as in another case, is chanting Hinduism can have the same effect. So, but nevertheless, it's just the interesting difference between the hyped up spiritual state and, you know, the classic features of using cannabis is of a different kind of awareness, a different kind of sense of the world, which is not unlike a religious state.
I think going a little bit further and, like, obviously a bit more contemporary, you can get, you know, like medical cannabis with very low THC but has a lot of CBD and it's super good for your body and has healing purposes. Does Christianity kind of recognize that as a good thing, or are they still afraid of it? Like, you know what I mean? Like, is that going to be a problem with this upcoming little referendum?
For that, I don't actually think that Christianity is as opposed to cannabis as some other types of religion, partly because if you can cite medical reasons, medicine in Christianity has a very high status, you know, good health. So if there's a health argument that's genuine, then that's likely to be persuasive to some people.
We've had a text in saying Christianity does not want you to smoke weed or do yoga because opening your mind is also opening you up to a spiritual attack. You need to have your wits about you to keep Satan out. Yeah, so but that kind of, like, it's like, it's true, you know, it could open your mind to thinking, hey, I don't need to be in this whack cult.
Yes, and you could argue back to that person, but then singing the same words over and over and over again, as in a Pentecostal meeting.
Brainwashing.
How is that different? Okay, they're religious words, but they can't be meaningful the 100th time, can they?
How come I'm allowed to go to some churches and like get like blown over by random magic, but I'm not allowed to have just a set? You know what I mean? When people just like touch your forehead and you're cured of all your problems and you fall over, and or you like go into some kind of fit on the floor and everyone else starts screaming shit and tongue. And how come that's all so, totally sweet? But like, that looks like the right place to get on something.
But here is the ambiguity of a lot of religions that they distinguish sharply between improper and proper means, but the improper and proper aren't that dissimilar, you know?
Right.
So that the magic carried out over the communion turns it into the body and blood of Christ. That magic is absolutely out.
What do we think?
Peter, have the churches, the main church bodies, put out
which way they're
official
voting?
Like statements yeah. about what they think should happen in the
Well, what do you think the groups of the religions are? Which way they're going to vote?
On the whole, the religions, there's been some statements, and all of them have been negative,
okay.
of course, from the major Christian and Islamic bodies, but. I think probably the arguments that they've given have almost without fail been medical reasons. And that we don't want young people, what will it do to their brains, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
So unlike the Right to Die bill, it's less on a high theological level.
Yeah.
There's less God reasoning and much more practical reasoning that seems not to have a specifically religious flavour to it. The only religious reasons are reasons, as I said, in favour for those religions that favour it.
Mm. So just they've got a sort of slightly more conservative take on the issue.
I'm sorry, didn't catch that.
They have a slightly more conservative take on the issue for the referendum.
Yes.
Which doesn't make sense, because if you're more conservative, don't you want things to be regulated?
Yeah. So often conservatism is allied to the belief that the world ought to be ordered, and religion is about sort of tidying up it. But of course, there is another type of religion that's very much about the liberation of the spirit or the individual.
Scientology.
And so it's two flavors. Oh. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much, Peter. I knew that was going to be interesting.
It is very interesting.
Well, we'll catch you next Monday for another Mint chapter of That's the Spirit.
Very good.